Would you take your Bibles before we come to the table of the Lord? We should look for a moment yet at the fifth chapter of Romans. It has been a chapter that we've looked at time and again throughout the summer. And I just want to look briefly at those three rejoicings at the beginning of Romans 5. It says that we have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified means we've come into a right standing before God. He sees us as just. It says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, God most holy sees us as righteous because Jesus died in our place. He bore our sin and our guilt. He bore God's wrath against sin so that we could have peace with God, so that we who were God's enemies could be reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. And we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have come into this wonderful place, as it says in the next verse. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So there's the first rejoice that I want you to notice. We rejoice. The joy bells are ringing in our hearts because Jesus died for us. And Jesus took our place. And Jesus forgave our sins. God can look upon us. And He says that in this new covenant, He remembers our sins. He remembers our iniquities against us no more. And that means that one day we shall see the Lord face to face. We have already come into a standing in grace. No more sinking in mire. We will not drown in perdition. We are not on the way to our destruction or damnation. No. We have a goal, and that goal is God Himself. Jesus has redeemed us by His blood, redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We are rejoicing in His mighty deliverance, in this glorious salvation, in life eternal that is ours. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we have obtained this access by faith, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by grace. Are you saved? Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We glory in Him and in His cross, and we rejoice because we know we have the hope of glory. Where does it say? Christ in you. Christ is in our hearts. We are in Him. We read a few verses down that the love of God is poured out, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Christ is in us, and He is our hope of glory, and we rejoice. And we are right to rejoice. We have every reason to rejoice. Our hope is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in Him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath His covenant, His blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And so we come into this wonderful place when we believe in Jesus, when He saves us. The goodness of God leads us to repentance, and He awakens us to His call. Awaken, as we said this morning, to repentance and live a life of service to God. That's something that He does, but oh, how wonderful it is, and how we rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice because we know Jesus and we have salvation full and free in Him. We know the love of God in Christ. Oh, how we rejoice in hope, the hope of the glory of God. And then the next rejoicing. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. I guess that's, my father used to speak about these three rejoicings. So it was like stepping up a ladder. And surely all who are saved and who know it, if you're saved and you know it, we were talking about that with Cheryl at the table this afternoon. Say amen, clap your hands. Anyway, we ought to rejoice. But here's the next step. How is it? It's unnatural, isn't it, to rejoice in your sufferings. When a trial comes, a fiery trial, a real difficult thing comes at you. And it says here, we rejoice in our sufferings. Well, there's a reason for that. It's something that God teaches us. We're in a school, the school of the Holy Spirit, and we're being educated. Some of you have to go back to school. Sorry about that. But here's a school. Someday you're going to be promoted and keep going and you're going to get out. And I can tell you that happens after a while anyway. And maybe you'll go to college, and then that's going to end too, and you'll be glad. But this is a school that you keep growing. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't finish in the school of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is teaching us. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He's making us more like Himself. These are spiritual lessons, and there's a way that He helps us to learn them. I guess there are many ways that He teaches us, many things that come our way. We use our textbook, and we learn to love it. We get into it, we devour it, we meditate in it, we just love His holy word. But here's one way that He uses for advancement in His school. More than that, it says we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I believe that when we know something of the outpouring of the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, then we are assured that we shall never be ashamed of our hope. Hope makes not ashamed, we read, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Who said today, it's real, that someone was filled with the Spirit, and that was Ed Carew, right? Filled with the Spirit, and he said, it's real, it's real, it's real. He knew something new about the love of God in Christ. Jesus had come to him. The Holy Spirit had filled him. And he's gone through many trials, by the way. as we all will in the school of the Holy Ghost. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. So I guess this is the next step. It doesn't happen at the beginning, but we learn something wonderful, like Jacob did. Didn't he go through trials? By the way, Sister Gerda, we sang Paul's song this morning. One of them, I know whom I have believed, this afternoon that was. And then we have Peter's song, joy unspeakable and full of glory. But we also have Jacob's song, nearer my God to thee. You know, all the trials that Jacob went through. And remember in his song, he didn't write it, but we sing it about him. It says, oh, here's a pilgrim song. There let my way appear, steps unto heaven, all that thou sendest me in mercy given, angels to beckon me nearer my God to thee. That's a wonderful revelation. It's great to come into that. Are you there yet? Do you rejoice in your sufferings? God is teaching us, helping us to understand, as it says in Hebrews 12, that as the Lord deals with us, there's a wonderful result. It's called there the peaceable fruit of righteousness that comes to those who are exercised by the discipline of the Lord, which is a precious thing. Don't despise it, my son, the writer says. He's quoting from the Old Testament. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't faint when he rebukes you. It shows that he loves you. It shows that you are truly his child. And the peaceable fruit of righteousness is yielded in those who are exercised by the discipline of the Lord. So here's how and why we can rejoice in suffering. We understand that there is something worked out in our lives in this way that we wouldn't have if we missed it, if we were spared all the trials and the tests and the sufferings and the difficulties. We wouldn't have patience produced, endurance, character, hope that doesn't put us to shame. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, it goes on. There's another one in the 11th verse. I guess this is really the ultimate. Now we're not rejoicing in our blessing, and we're not rejoicing in our trials, but we joy in God Himself. That's what it says here. We also rejoice in God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the atonement, or the reconciliation, we rejoice in Him. Now, how does that happen? I believe we have to come back to verse 5, and that's its bearing right here on this wonderful service that we're participating in tonight. The love of God is poured into our hearts. And in these verses between, we see the love of God. God shows His love for us, we read, in Christ's giving Himself for us. It says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Here it is. We come to that place, the, shall we say, the highest rung on the ladder. We could call it Jacob's ladder we're climbing. But Jacob was still there in the old covenant, the first testament. And we know Jesus, and we know his salvation, and we have come to participate in it and receive life at his hand, and we are so grateful. We are so thankful, and how can we help but rejoice in all that God has done for us in Christ, all that he has brought for us, all that he is doing to work sanctification, work holiness, work likeness to Christ in our hearts and lives by the power of his Holy Spirit. And then we joy in God. We joy in God. We find that Christ is all in all to us. And we sing things like we find in our book, once we sought the blessing. Once it was the blessing, but now it is the Lord. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing, everything in Jesus. And Jesus everything, I rejoice in him. Now, how does that happen, I said. It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We receive a revelation as God works in us by the Holy Spirit to understand and appreciate his love for us. We don't love him without that. We love him because he first loved us. And it's when we are understanding, when we and we go on in that, we come to appreciate and cherish and value his love so that we are overwhelmed by it as the Holy Spirit makes it real to us. But these wonderful words show us. See those words for sinners here? Look at, there are some words that are parallel. In the sixth verse, while we were still weak. In the eighth verse, while we were still sinners. In the tenth verse, while we were enemies. And then you also have in the sixth verse, the ungodly. We were ungodly. We were utterly powerless. We could not help ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. And so Christ came. Christ died for the ungodly. And he shows, God demonstrates his love toward us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And while we were his enemies, he took that step. He took the initiative to reconcile us to himself. We were enemies, reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And now that we are reconciled, it says, much more shall we be saved by his life. He saved us. He is saving us. He is changing us. He is blessing us as his people. He is leading us on toward the goal, and we joy in him. Oh, how thankful we are tonight when I read about when we were weak. Christ died. We talked about one who was weak this morning. He couldn't raise himself because he was dead. And I think of the man also in the Gospel of Luke and in other Gospels who couldn't even come to Jesus by himself. His friends carried him. He had no power at all. And then they came to the house where Jesus was, and they couldn't get in. And you remember that wonderful story, we'll just mention it very briefly. They tore open the roof. They figured out just about where Jesus was, and then they, you know, below them, they tore open the roof, and they let this man down on this, I guess we could call it a stretcher. And they had their lines holding them, these four, and they let this man down in front of Jesus. Only Jesus could help him. He was a paralyzed man. He was powerless to help himself. And Jesus said, your sins be forgiven thee. Son, your sins be forgiven thee. And then he said, rise take up your bed and walk. He was helpless. He needed his friends even to bring him to Jesus. But Jesus looked at him. Jesus saw that weakness. Jesus set things right. Jesus came right into his need, forgave his sins, and healed his sickness. He set that man free. Jesus saw us too when we were powerless, unable to come to him ourselves, and he awakened us, he called us, and he has power to take weak ones like us when we were without strength. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Think of it. God could have looked upon the ungodly and just crushed them. He had every right to do that. God in heaven, thrice holy God, men and women down here on earth, sinning against him, going their own way, filled with iniquity, oh, the earth, filled with all kinds of evil work. And he didn't crush, no, not at all. Remember what it says about Jesus? It says that he doesn't crush. He doesn't stomp on the bruised reed. He doesn't break it. He doesn't quench the smoking flax. He doesn't do that. He could snuff it out. He came to that paralyzed man. He comes to you and me. And he knows that we have been bruised by our sin, but he doesn't break us. Rather, he mends us for his glory. That's our Jesus. Our mighty Jesus is also tender and compassionate, and he doesn't blow out that candle that's just smoking or squeeze that wick. He burns fire into our souls. Fire of life and grace, and causes it to blaze forth unto his praise. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus, merciful and grand. When we get an understanding, when the Lord opens our eyes to it and our hearts to his love, then we joy. We rejoice in God who loved us like this. He loved us with an everlasting love and drew us to himself with cords of loving kindness. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Hallelujah.